You're listening to the Next Gen Leadership Podcast. All right, Luke, we play together, it's been 4 or 5 years now. In some, it was longer than that. 2018, I think, was the year that we played together in the Prospect League. So a unique story here from Luke, kind of bringing it all together from teammates that I played with and great relationships in the game of baseball. But welcome to the show, man. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on. You know, I was excited when you reached out to me because I haven't talked to you in so long since.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, I'm glad that we were able to still keep up with each other.
And it's always good to catch up with guys that you haven't seen in a while and hear what they've done because, you know, you had a different journey in college baseball than I did. And we connected very well for one short summer. But, you know, for the last couple of years, you've been in the game and had great experiences. And they're just great to share with other guys too as well. So as well as catching up, it's great to hear your story and what you have to share. Give us a little background on, you know, from the culmination of when you kind of played, where you played college baseball to what you're doing now.
Oh man. Yeah. Like you said, it's a little unique. So my freshman year, I was going to a Division II school and North Indiana, northish, almost towards the middle, about a hour and a half away from Indianapolis. I went to St. Joseph's College. It was a D2 school in Rensselaer. And, you know, I loved the place. I was really excited to go there. And then, you know, blah, 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 whatever happens. And in January, we found out the whole school was shut down. So you're like, all right, well, where do we go from here? We had no idea. We were luckily able to play out our season, which was cool. But, you know, and then like 2 weeks later after we found out the school shut down, I was going on visits to other schools, and I committed to Ball State on my visit and played for 4 years at Ball State. You know, had some of the greatest experiences ever, you know, lifelong friends, you know, had fun doing it and played top level competition. You know, it wasn't every day where, I was grateful where in the situation, it wasn't every day I was going to, we played a weekend at Arizona and a weekend at Kentucky and we played Stanford, Alabama, you know, so, my career was really fun in those aspects of college. And then after college, I played about a month and a half of professional ball in the American Association with the Sioux City Explorers. Had fun with it, but, you know, it didn't pan out as well, you know, but I had fun going there. It was cool meeting a lot of guys and getting the experience. And then this past year, I was coaching at a Division II school in West Virginia known as Alderson Broaddus University. I got hired as the pitching coach, and it was a major step, you know, right away, just graduating and then going right into coaching, which was cool. I had a good time, you know, learned a lot of new things about, you know, myself and then in the coaching realm. And now that I just got hired in Fishers, Indiana, is where I moved to, and I'm working at PRP Baseball in Noblesville to be a performance coach, just training athletes and getting them to be, you know, their peakness level, just get them up there and make them better ball players.
Yep. And you were lefty too. I mean, you're a guy who had a unique arm slot, had some unique pitches to your repertoire, and I think things, you know, from your side of things worked out really well for you getting those different experiences, you know, like I said, playing in the Prospect League with you. And you know, I think you met a lot of really cool people throughout your career. Cause you shared a lot of those unique stories and people that you met and mechanical things with me that really helped me in my game as well. But what has translated to wanting to be a coach for you? Why, what was the reasoning that, you know, instead of using your degree to, you know, maybe go into a job right after school, going into coaching was kind of your route?
One main thing was, you know, in my career, some of my coaches are some of my greatest role models. You know, Coach Rich Maloney at Ball State is going to be probably one of my closest friends till the day one of us dies. You know, he comes and he texts me a lot. He bothers me a lot and I bother him probably just as much. And he's a very busy guy. But, you know, him, Larry Scully, the pitching coach at Ball State, Rick Odette, the head coach at St. Leo. I can go on and on and on. Like, all those coaches are my role models and I really looked up to them. You know, and if I ever needed anything, they were there. And now, you know, in a sense, I want kids to have the same gratitude for the right person to put their trust in and their beliefs and to try and, you know, invest fully in one coach, well, multiple coaches, but have that one coach that's, you know, it's more than baseball in a sense. I want them to, you know, if their girlfriend broke up with them and they're crying, you know, I want them to, you know, shoot me a text or a call or something if you need anything. Or I want things to be more than baseball and develop relationships was the main thing that I wanted to do.
Very cool. That's awesome. That's pretty cool to hear. And I mean, for you kind of as a guy that, you know, you got roped into an auditorium or something like that, and they basically told you your whole school was shutting down, right? So, you know, talk about like going through some adversity. And, you know, for you in your personal life, you know, you now you want to be able to give back and help guys get through that on their end. I mean, what was that like? I mean, that is such, you don't see that very often where like not just the baseball program shutting down, but they're killing the whole school. And now you're like, well, I committed to this place for the next 4 years. And now I got nothing, not just a baseball career, but I got no school to go to. So what was that like? And how was that handled from you personally? And who did you lean on through that time to kind of get you through? And obviously be able to come out on the other side, you know, a better man for it with some success.
Man, you know, like you said, the auditorium, it wasn't very big. You know, we had about, you know, maybe 1,000 kids max in the school, but I think it held almost about everyone. We were jam packed in there, but we're like, oh, well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And they dropped that bomb on us. We're like,
like, oh, that's pretty bad.
All right. Well, you know, that wasn't cool. You know, that like, you know, the worst thing about it was you had to feel bad for the guys that have been there for 3-4 years already. Like, though that's their home, you know, I mean, the seniors that were there that year were absolutely incredible. And they taught me so much. And like, you know, when I went in there as a freshman, I was a little ass a little bit, you know, as a typical freshman can be. You go in there, you're like, I'm going to take your job. But like a lot of them, they were showing me the ways like, hey, we're not going to do that here. Like, you haven't proven anything yet, obviously. And like, you know, I was so grateful for a lot of those guys and that experience as a whole. So you had to feel for them more so because, you know, like that's their alumni, you know. And but after when we found out the school was shutting down, it was right away. My head coach, Rick Odette, was he was like, all right, what schools do you find yourself at? And kind of give me a list. And then the best part about it was he first asked, he said, do you want to play this year to help us win? Cause we were able to play our season. And I just said, hell yeah. Like, you know, I was excited. I wanted to play, obviously. But then, you know, I kept getting, I got some calls from, you know, my first two visits were actually Northern Kentucky and Ball State were actually the first two that were reaching out mainly. Then I had a text from Indiana. I had one of my buddies at Purdue found out. And then, you know, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, a lot of MAC schools. So, you know, it was a lot, you know, having to go through a second recruiting process in a sense. But I'm lucky that I got it. I felt that it was a lot of weight off my shoulders getting it out of the way. As soon as our season was about to start, I committed to Ball State. And I was like, all right, now I don't have to worry, you know.
Okay, so that was going to be my question. Like, so you basically got the news in like January, right, when you came back from winter break. And then your coach basically asked you, okay, do you want to play for us? You say yes. And then basically while you're getting ready for your season at your current school, you reopen the recruiting process for that kind of 5-6 week period before the season starts. And were you taking the visits and doing that type of stuff? Or was it just all over the phone at that point because you were trying to get ready for the season?
They wanted me to come visit the schools. And I did too. I wanted to see places, you know. I went to a small high school. I was born on the south side of Chicago. So I like to look at other things. And obviously I went from small middle school, small high school, small first year of college. So I show up to Northern Kentucky was my first visit. I'm like, holy crap, this is like, it was big, you know, Ball State same way. I'm like, this is nuts. But like I said, I committed on my visit at Ball State. So I didn't take any more. But you know, I had multiple phone calls where I was like, you know, one had the night I committed, a coach called and It was funny. I was sitting with my friends and I was like, hey, I committed to Ball State and I hung up or whatever. And they said, you said, unfortunately. I'm like, yeah, for them, I guess. You know, but yeah, it was an easygoing process, which was good. I thought it could have been a lot harder, but I was just glad to get out of the way because I wanted to really focus on that season because I loved the school, loved the guys I played with. And I wanted to win with them. So because we had a really good team, we had a good chance. We were in the regional. Truth be told, we were pretty close to making the College World Series that year for D2. And I think we should have, but we ended up blowing a lead against Quincy and it was like, damn, we were close. So we had a really good team.
Yeah, that would have been a good way to go out for sure. But even, you know, being right there on the edge, you know, good way to send that program off into end of the sunset for sure. And then kind of what did that transition look like for you going from that D2, you know, a little bit smaller school, you know, now you're committed to a MAC school, Ball State, you know, got some name recognition, like you said, much bigger size school. You know, what was that like for you once your season ended, you know, you're going a different route. What did that preparation look like? Did you play summer ball leading up into that? Is that the year that you played with Nolan, or was that the year after? And kind of what
the
did
year
that
after we played look like? That summer after we finished, my pitching coach at Ball State, Dustin Glant, who's also one of the best guys ever, crazy guy, but you love him because he loves you. He told me that I'm just gonna, because I was skinny my first year of college. I think I was 155 pounds. So he's like, you gotta get your ass in the weight room and, you know, every day. And then, so he put together a really good throwing program for me where I was lifting, you know, 5 times a week and then throwing, and it really helped because my velo shot up and I was like, all right, well, this guy knows what he's doing. So I was happy about it. But no, I didn't play summer ball that year and I just trained and it was awesome.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And so then you get to campus, your fall of almost basically a repeat in your freshman year. You kind of like having the hot shot freshman, you know, kind of had to get put in your place. Now you at least played a season of college baseball, but now you're moving up a level. You're a new guy in the locker room again. You know, was that a tough process for you, or were you just, you kind of got on campus and you'd already been, were you there in the summer, or was that doing that on your own? And then just how did that transition work out for you? Or did you just kind of, as soon as you got there, did you just feel like you were at home?
Oh man. I mean, you know, like I'm a pretty outgoing guy. If Nolan could tell you stories, he could probably give you 100. We've been through a lot together. But you know, when I first got there, I wanted to make sure, like, I was gonna, you know, tell people like, hey, like I want to learn more. I want to, you know, learn underneath like the older guys. And like, we had that recruiting class that came in for freshmen. I don't know if you're familiar with the names, but Dre Jameson, who was a first rounder, 34th overall pick in 2019, Kyle Nicholas, a second rounder in 2020, went to the Marlins, and Chase McDermott, who just went in the fourth round this past year to the Astros. So that was our freshman class coming in. And we were like, wow, these guys are pretty good. You know, Dre Jameson's about 92, 95, and he's about 5'9". And Kyle Nicholas is 92, 97, 96, and he's 6'4", 6'5". And then Chase McDermott's 92, 95. And you're like, okay, this is different, you know. But we had a really good staff, which was a good epitome of our team throughout the years I was there. We had our ace, who's one of my best friends, roommate. He's probably the most historic pitcher in Ball State history. I think he may or may not lead the NCAA in current strikeouts career-wise. I could be wrong, but his name's John Baker, but he was, yeah. So you heard about all these guys, and you're like, all right, well, I still have to obviously prove myself. And it didn't go too well, honestly. I didn't do too well my sophomore year until about, man, I'd say we had about 25 games left. I think I had 4 appearances throughout the first half of the season. Then I got stuck in against Indiana State. They were beating us pretty bad. And, you know, they were just like, all right, let's see what a guy can do. We're struggling as staff. Threw a couple clean innings. And then the following week I threw against Ohio State when we were down 11-3. We ended up winning 12-11. So that kind of built up in that sense where I started playing more. So it was a good first year for me there. I really appreciated everything that happened there. And then that led into the summer with Nolan. And we had a good summer there and, you know, on and on. And it was a good first year that I had there, experience wise.
And then leading into that too, as you became a leader on your team into your later years too, you guys started beating some pretty big names. I mean, I think I remember watching a few of them that, some games that you were pitching in the teams that were well known, you know, it's the ball, who's Ball State, really nobody knows them on the grand scheme of college baseball. In some sense, they're not a team that you see in College World Series every year, but you guys had a really good shot going into those later years. And I think that was partly due to your leadership. I heard a lot from you as far as like pumping up your team and being a leader on the field. But what were some of those teams that you beat and like those experiences later in your years when you were playing a lot more?
Oh man, I mean, nothing like it. My favorite, I actually got it right here. I won 2 wins against Kentucky my last year. I came out of the bullpen on Friday, threw to 2 hitters. I walked the first guy, got a strikeout, and then that was it. We put our ace in the game late in the game because we were winning. So he went like 3 innings and got the save. It was madness. Then I ended up starting on Sunday and went 5 innings, gave up 1 run. We ended up winning that game 3-2 or 4-3, I think. Brought our ace in after me. So that was a cool experience, you know, playing at Kentucky. It's a beautiful ballpark. You're like, all right, this is awesome, you know, playing SEC baseball. And then I didn't have good fortunes against Arizona. I wasn't very good. I think I went like 2 1/3 or something. They had like, I think they put up 2 runs, but our coach wanted to get me out of there because I had a high pitch count and, you know, they were one of the best hitting college teams I think I've ever played in my life. And, you know, got bailed out by my friend Tyler Richley. He came in through 5 1/3 for the rest of the game. Like he absolutely shoved it and he got the win. So, you know, things like that was awesome for our team my last year, especially because we were such a good team. And, you know, everyone contributed, which was awesome. Like we had no idea how we were going to, get wins more on the mound because we were so young. You know, we had experience bringing our 1 and 2 back. You know, they pitched all the time. I was more of a relief guy for those. I was a relief guy for the first 4 years that I was there. And I started to come on, which was good. But we had younger guys that really stepped up. And, you know, it was awesome to see them all, you know, all excited when we're playing Arizona. And, like, you know, everyone steps, especially myself, too. You step in the ballpark and you're like, wow, this is a real deal. And it's nice out in February instead of icy and snowy.
Yeah, that's it's a little different down there. It's a little different. Now, with kind of helping mold some of those young guys, you said, especially that final year at Ball, you know, having a younger staff, being a veteran guy who'd pitched in some games, gotten some wins in some big games, you know, and kind of helping mold that, you know, younger portion of the staff. Is that a big part of why you wanted to get into coaching? You just felt strongly, you know, you had the great coaches that influenced you during your career. And did you just kind of feel like even towards the tail end of your playing career and, you know, college and even indie ball, where you almost felt like you were like another coach in a bullpen, just kind of starting to really dive into learning the, you know, the art and the science of pitching, especially and helping start to mold that younger piece of the staff? Was that something that you felt like you were already doing while you were still playing?
Yeah. You know, I didn't want to overstep my boundaries with my coaches, obviously, but if someone were to ask, you know, like, hey, do you understand what we're doing here? You know, and like, I thought I studied up like a lot of pitching stuff, because I just loved it when I was playing. And I thought if like, I didn't want to say anything, but unless they were to approach me, or if I absolutely saw something that needed to be corrected, I'd just throw in, you know, like a suggestion. And it was cool to see like if a certain younger guy would, when he listened, and it would eventually help. And, you know, that was very, very exciting to just see people, just do better with suggestions and your leadership, hopefully. And, it was just something that I wanted to do because I just, you know, I believe in, just myself and personally, just, you know, wanting to help the younger generation, obviously, just, you know, achieve their dreams to go to the next level, you know, play professional baseball. And I think it's so rewarding to just see someone else, like I said, build that relationship with someone and they find you as important in their life as you do in theirs.
Yeah, it's a little addicting, isn't it? You give somebody a cue, or you're catching a flat ground, or, you know, whatever, and you say something like, "Hey, why don't you try this?" And he just dots like the next two or three, and you're like, "Yeah, all right." Like, that's a good
deal. Do it every time. Baseball's easy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So that's cool. And, you know, like you said, you love it, right? You just kind of, you were doing it anyway. You were trying to learn and get better just for yourself, and that passion just, you know, those are the best coaches. I mean, I'm sure Nolan would agree with that. Like, I've had some awesome coaches in my career too, where it's like the best ones I look back is like, they were just baseball rats. Like, they just love this. They just will eat it up. Like, that's all they want to do. They eat, sleep, breathe baseball, and it just oozes out of them, you know? And I feel like you kind of give off that same vibe. So it's no wonder that you were able to make such a quick transition out of, you know, college professional baseball as a player to immediately get a pitching coach job at a D2 school. That's not common. I mean, you do not see guys go straight from playing to a paid coaching position at a school. I mean, you typically got to go the volley route or the GA route. So what was that transition like, and kind of how did that work? Cause that is a really big jump, for a lot of guys to be able to go straight from playing, you know, coming out of the bullpen in seventh inning or whatever, to now you're making the choices. Now you're writing the whole plan up for a whole staff. That's a big jump.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it doesn't happen too often. I was very grateful for that opportunity. It was different, you know, having to, for the interview, you know, he's like, "All right, I need your philosophy presentation, your goals for a staff, you know, your programs, all the lifting, you know, throwing, and all the other things that you have to do in there." And then it was a very quick process, you know, but I also, in my past, I always write stuff up in a sense, you know, because I want to try to, you know, experiment for myself when I was playing. So I had things written up, but, you know, I wanted to make it perfect too. So it was a quick process, but, you know, getting hired there, it was a blessing, you know, being able where I'm at now. Very thankful for the school that helped me out, because the head coach is an awesome guy, Zach Missler. He's also one of my closest friends. Just a great overall person to help me get this opportunity. And, you know, it was a battle at first. We didn't have a very good year, but, you know, at the coolest thing that I did love about it, after I told the team I was leaving, I think I got about, you know, 5-10 phone calls right away. And it was like 11 o'clock at night too. So they're, you know, some guys are just, you know, thankful, you know, wishing me the best, which was just really cool to see, you know, saying they're going to miss you and stuff like that was, you know, really pleasing. Even though we weren't good that year, those kids are probably one of the best group of kids I'd ever be around, because they just, you know, loved each other and fed off of energy. And that's the kind of thing that I wanted to put in them, is just have energy and have fun all the time.
Yeah, that's more than baseball, right? You know, that's,
oh, yeah,
it's so much more than just the game. I mean, those relationships are going to stick with you forever. And then, so talk about kind of your transition, you know, so you get the job at the school, and then how did this new opportunity with PRP, where you're at now, going from, you know, pro ball coaching in college, now you're at a private facility. Kind of how did that come about, and what do you think is the biggest difference from being a college coach versus being a private trainer, you know, for basically elite level amateurs? Kind of what are you seeing as the biggest difference, and how's that been going now in your newest venture?
So it came up. So I used to train at PRP when I was in college. Some of the greatest experiences I had, you know, they helped me out so much with, you know, pitch design, pitch metrics, just simply getting better overall. And the lead floor trainer and the head performance coach, Anthony Gomez, I've been working with him since my sophomore year of college, or junior year of college, maybe. Going into my junior year, he's a great guy. He's helped me out so much, you know, just being on me to develop better and be better. And so he shot me a call and said, you done coaching college yet, and you want to do something fun? And I'm like, all right, come on, relax. But you know, the biggest difference, other than not having to book hotels and do food, you know, I'm there from 10, like I work in an hour, got to leave at like 9:20. The biggest difference, you know, I'm there from 10 to 3:30, and it's just, you know, just everything is got to be flowing and organized, and we got to be able to, you know, deal with 20 athletes at a time where everyone's working on individual stuff that day. You know, like today's our velo day for a lot of guys, so we got a bunch of guys doing, you know, shuffled pattern throws. So like yesterday would have been just a light day, but today there's no mental cues, no physical cues. The only mental cue, I guess, would be just throw the shit out of it.
Yeah, throw that shit hard, baby.
But so I'm excited. This is gonna be my first velo day with the guys, so I'm excited. You know.
Break out the smelling salts. Let's go.
I gave a kid a velo slap yesterday, my first one, and everyone said, "It looks like you've done that before." I said, "Oh, plenty of times."
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So that, and I think that's the fun part, right? Velo, but that's the fun part, right? You know, you get to really sell out and, you know, bring the energy and things like that, you know, that's awesome. So as far as like your approach, I mean, you kind of mentioned this, you had to build this whole plan, getting hired, you know, what high level, what kind of, what is your approach? How do you take it to players at the younger level? Cause I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is there's a disconnect between the old school and the new school camps of baseball. And just how do you approach that? Or which camp would you say you fall into? Or do you try and bridge the gap a little bit? And what do you do to try and connect with this younger generation of players working more commonly with, you know, amateur guys?
Mm-hmm. You know, just asking them, you know, to invest and believe in what we're teaching. So I'm more of the new school type of guy, you know, working on the backside, you know, hinging instead of pinching and doing all the other type of stuff. You know, obviously you got the plyos, you got all the driveline stuff. You're learning about pitch design and how to throw out their pitches even. And like, you know, so just asking them to buy in a sense was probably the one way just to connect. And then we were connecting right away. You know, guys saw, I had a kid, he was awesome. He worked really hard in the weight room. He came into that summer last year up to 82. Then in a velo pen, he hit 92 in the winter. So that was a big jump, and everyone's like, okay. But he's a little kid from the town of where we were in West Virginia. He grew up there and lived there, and he is like, you know, just talks like this, you know, yes sir. So he's one of those guys, and he's like, he told me, man, coach, I didn't know I could use my legs like that. so he, like, you know, seeing the guys buy into, you know, how they want to get better was really rewarding. That's the way we connected too, just building relationships. And, you know, I'm 24 years old right now, and I was 23 when I got hired. So I was the same age as one of the guys, actually. So, you know, I'm close to their age, and I was able to connect with them.
Now, is that something that you had to – maybe not even like so much you actually had to do it, but in your head, did you have any of that like imposter syndrome where you're like, yeah, like I got seniors on the team that, you know, they graduated high school the same year as I did, and I'm telling them how we're going to run this pitching program. Did you struggle with that at all? Or did you just kind of just say, hey, I know my stuff. I've prepared for this. I've got track record as a player. I'm here to help. Or did you struggle with any of that being such a young coach? At that level?
At first, yeah. Because you want to mess around, you know, have fun, you know, they're just about the same age. But once it got going, they started to just put their trust into me. So I didn't really want to yell at them. Because, you know, I'm not that type of person where I need to yell at someone to get my point across. So they just pretty much just listened and trusted and everything. As long as I saw them working hard at it, you know, I couldn't complain at all. So I didn't really feel like me being about their same age wasn't really that much of an issue, because a lot of them have said, like, when I was leaving, a lot of them have said, like, thank you for everything, you know, you showed us so much and doing all that stuff. So that it was really meaningful to see the amount of like respect that I was earned, and that they just treated me like, you know, I'm their coach, and they weren't treating me like I was one of their buddies. But, you know, there were times where obviously, you know, I'd mess around a little bit, you know, but there's time for that. But when it got onto the field, it was strictly business. You know, we wanted to do things right, do it the right way.
Yeah. So being so young, you ever jump out there on the floor and are you going to hop in velo day today or
oh, man, is it my, too much now? My arm's shot again, man. I felt good after Indy ball when I was done, you know, my velo actually ticked up, but when I stopped, it's not good. I can't do it.
On you pretty quick, huh?
Yeah, I can't do it anymore, man.
Awesome.
Good stuff, man. Well, I was looking up too, was while you guys were talking, the PRP Mambas is the program, right? That travels around and looks like they're ranked 14th nationally by Perfect Game and finished 8th in WWBA and Pastime National Championships, did really well in that tournament. So to have a good team that travels around the country like that, that's pretty impressive. You probably have some really good guys talent-wise, which is always fun to work with when, again, they probably are just learning about the game, but at the same time, talented kids.
Yeah, we got some dudes. Yeah. We got some dudes out here. It's awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, good, man. We appreciate you being on the show. Any last final thoughts or words of wisdom for listeners?
No, I appreciate you having me on, man. Good to catch up with you always. And if you ever need me to come back on to answer any more questions, you know, I'm more than happy to. I like to talk. I get bored sometimes. So, you know, doing all this stuff makes me happy. You know, I appreciate it. And you and I catching up, Nolan, I appreciate you asking me the questions, Jonathan. I really do. So, you know, I had a great time.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you, Luke. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Leadership Podcast. And we'll see you next time.